this be a declaration this morning for each one of us in our hearts. Though the oceans roar, you are Lord of all. Just give him a big amen personally to him. Though the oceans roar, you're the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and the waves and makes my heart be still. Make it personal today. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage, I know my God is in control. I know my God is in control. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Lord of hosts, you're with us. You're with us in the fire. Make it personal. Lord of hosts, you're with me. You're with me in the fire. You're with me as a shelter. You're with me in the storm. You will lead me through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? Where else would I go except with you, Lord Jesus? You're the Lord of hosts. Just make it personal this morning. Jesus, I believe. I believe these words deep down in my soul. And that's the only way that my soul will be well. That I believe, that I trust you, that I don't give up, that I remain in confidence no matter what I see, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. You are sovereign God, and you are truly in control. Lord, I believe this morning. I take it as my own declaration. Just tell him, I take it as my own. I believe it for me. Lord, fill me with your presence and your power. Overwhelm me and overtake me that I may not falter, that I may not give up, that I may not lose hope. For you're the restorer of the breach. You're the only wise and true God. Fill me with your fire today. Fill me to overflowing today. No matter what words come against me, no matter what looks are glaring right in my eyes, I say it's well with my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord of hosts, you're with me.
Jesus. Sing it personally, personally.
With me as a shelter, with me in the storm, you will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would I go but with the Lord alone? Lord of hosts, you're
of our hearts this morning. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that these are not emotional words. These are words of life and words of hope. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're the one who calmed the storm, calmed the waves, Lord. That's who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive peace today. Peace is a person. Peace is a person. His name is Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As the Lord's been calming many hearts this week, as we have transitioned from relentless pursuit to the rest of our inner workings in our lives, the Lord of all, the Lord of hosts, our sovereign God, says, remember me. I'm the resurrected one. I am the resurrected one. I am the resurrected one. Look into my eyes. Hear my words. Child, do not be afraid. I love you. I know what you're going through. I know what you are facing. I love you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We heard these words so beautifully released over us last Saturday night when Brother Yoon was speaking to us. And I really believe that in this quietness of our home church here, our family, that when we remember who the Lord is and what he has already released to us, we can go right into that place again if we've veered over away from that at that moment. And when we do that, it takes the yes but out, just removes it out. And the Lord wants us to see, wants us to hear, wants us to remember. I'm so encouraged this morning. So strengthened this morning. Just grateful this morning. Grateful that we have such a good God and that we have the privilege of living in that place of peace, living in that place of safety, no matter what it looks like, even if, even still, no matter what. That's the place of peace, honestly, and the presence where the presence of God consumes us to be able to take what most people would say, I can't. I'm walking away. I can't do it. And the Lord gives us that hope. So that's where we are this morning. Just want to praise God for that and just thank him for his peace. And in the midst of storms, whether it be a physical storm in our body, whatever it would be, the Lord would say to us, I'm your healer. I'm your deliverer. I'm the one who makes all things new. When we transition from a time of worship that's just moving into another expression of our worshipful hearts before the Lord. So if there's anyone who has felt a change, a physical change, even an emotional change, it's like, oh, there's something different swirling around inside. My body was hurting. My heart was weak and hurting. And now I feel and I know the strength of my mighty God. If that's you, just wave your hand. We just want to celebrate the Lord. We want to say, thank you, Lord. 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 These changes that we experience, these are not just momentary things. The Lord says, I'm with you. I'm staying with you. I've never left you. If you had the privilege of being here Saturday night for Brother Yoon, you know. And that's not discounting anything else that went on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday when Pastor Juseo was preaching. And the Lord's brought to my attention this week to encourage my heart as well, so I can be an encouragement, continue on to listen to these teachings and listen to these impartations and continue to refresh myself and what the Lord was saying to me, maybe using me for, hopefully, but even listening and receiving as well. So the impartation is for us to say yes and amen for me, for all areas of my life, all situations that I'm facing. And I'm so encouraged. And I want to give a big thank you to everyone who helped so beautifully and helped us prepare the way for these marvelous men and women of God to come and bless us and strengthen us. And we're looking at, we'll tell you if it changes, but we're trying to see if we can solidify this date for next year, so that those of you who seem to be caught or stuck in a trap, maybe, or you couldn't come or didn't want to come or whatever happened, and you weren't able to be here, and maybe this year will be different, so you have a year to think about it and a year to plan, because this Relentless Pursuit 2018 was our seventh, and Papa Mel was really, really something in highlighting that for us to be able to go and realize that number seven means maturity, means completeness, means wholeness in many ways, and number eight is a number of new beginnings. So from at the end of Relentless Pursuit all the way through to next year, there are new things and sounds and ideas and places and countries and experiences, everything new that's piggybacking the completion of these 7 years for Relentless Pursuit. That's pretty exciting to me. So Ben was already talking and texting us, can't wait for Relentless Pursuit 2019, number eight. You know, thinking ahead, declaring and decreeing and proclaiming and just releasing over all of us the fact that the Lord's always building and he's always changing. So I'm really strengthened and encouraged by that, looking forward to it. And I know Andy has a few words he wanted to say about the upcoming Inessel Lawrence. And Lawrence and Sin and family, we welcome you back with our hearts of love and grace and mercy towards you. And we don't understand, but we celebrate the beautiful homegoing of Maria and the graduation of your mom and the promotion that your mom has. We don't understand timing of all things, but we do know that our hearts are with you and our God is so good. And the ones left here on this earth are the ones that walk through all the wonderful things that happen to our loved ones when they get to be in their eternal reward. So it's with that heart that we say we love you and we're with you and your whole family. And the best is yet to come and more answers will come. You know, we don't understand the timing of things. We don't understand a lot of things. But we do know when the Lord moves, when the Lord speaks, and he has such a beautiful way of looking at the homegoing of each one of us, of his kids. He looks at things way differently than we do. And he gives us ways to stand and walk through and trust him and not look back and not doubt. And then he's the one, the lover of our soul, who takes us through those challenging times that you've been walking through, you guys, and healing and delivering and setting free and encouraging and restoring. And so that's what he's doing, and we're here rallying around you. We love you so much. And Andy has something that he wants to say about what's coming up and what we're going to do about it.
First Friday. No. No. So we do have the audio and the video. It's going to be made available from Relentless Pursuit. There's already been some sessions that are edited, which is pretty sweet. But so what we're doing here for our frontline family, if you would like an MP3 CD that would have all the audio files, that way you could take it, put it on your computer, put it on your phone, all of that. Those will be made available for $15. And then if you would like the video copies of the entire conference along with the audio as well, that'll be available for $30. So that, again, is just the audio is $15. Video and audio is available for $30, and so I have two papers here. I'll start them on both sides. If that's something you would like, just put your name on there, email, and we will get that to you. And we do have a young adult retreat coming up and a also First Friday. So we have a quick little video here that we want to show about that. You guys can be patient while I run back there and turn it on.
Andy just finished this. I don't know what you said before. I'm sure it's good. You can flip the light out too. Someone help him back there. Seismic. Amen. And Andy is Mr. Video Man right now, and he's done a super job with this and everything for Relentless Pursuit and all of the pictures, and he's worked a lot. So we're really grateful, Andy. Thank you so much. Big thank you. Lots going on. And we have this 2 weeks from now, and we may be calling on some of you folks to help in many ways. And I know there's a meeting today after church, so we want to gather in here. When the Lord gave the vision for Seismic, he knew that there would be what we would think would be glitches in life and the schedule and all kinds of things. And we started a long time ago to try to move things, and so they would be in order, and the Lord just blew that up completely. So a lot of things haven't been able to move in the place that maybe they would be 2 weeks out from other conferences that we've had before. But that's okay, because the Lord is good. And we're going to be very surprised in a good way in 2 weeks and just seeing what God's going to do with Seismic. So the fact that we had Relentless Pursuit this past weekend is also different, is also new, and we've always had it. The end of October, so everything was flipped upside down, with Brother Yun coming in and Pastor Jose coming earlier and all of that. So a little bit different, which was great. And it taxed a few people in some areas and a few new babies and a few other things. We had joy. We had sorrow. We had such a mixture, didn't we? We had a lot of things going on. And the Lord is saying, you know what? I understand. I know. Let's pull in together and see what I've already decided and what I have planned through all of this. I think Lawrence was the one that coined it last year. I think it was for the Brazil trip, and he was speaking to the team, and he was saying, I always get this wrong, exactly, quoting you. I can't quote you, but something about watch what I'm doing or watch what I have done. Watch what he does. Thank you. Thank you. Watch what he does. And I'm sure he's been speaking that to himself for this last month or so. Watch what he does. You know, about a year. It's been a very interesting year. Filled with challenges, filled with joy, filled with heartache, filled with all kinds of things. So when Pastor Jose last Sunday called Pastor Bill and I up and gave us these two cups, and he said one cup was a cup of sorrow and one cup was a cup of joy, and he handed me this cup of sorrow and he handed Pastor Bill the cup of joy. I said, wait a minute here. What's going on? I don't want that cup. But anyway, and they look alike, so, you know, we don't even know which one is which. Oh, you do.
Joy.
Sorrow. But anyway, I need to listen to that again. I was really trying, and I was telling Andy, I want to hear that again before I give the message today. I couldn't get this thing to work for anything on my phone, and I had just finished listening to Brother Yoon. It's like, what the heck? So I don't remember exactly what was said, because I was, you know, in joy, not in sorrow, hearing what Pastor Jose was speaking over us. But it was really profound. And that was Sunday morning. That was after Papa Mel preached. That was after Brother Yun preached. And there's a lot to listen to. So I want to offer to you whatever Andy said up here, because I was talking to Sin and Lawrence, and really encourage you guys to take the plunge, to spend the money, to get the CD or the MP3, to get the audio, to get the video, however he presented it. Did you have a handout for them or something? See, he talked about it, I didn't even know he was going to be able to get it done. But it's really worth it. So as I was listening to Brother Yoon, I just was completely wrecked again. And I was like, oh, I want to see him. I want to see that. Because I was sitting right up here in the front. And I could see the fire in his eyes. I don't know if you were in the back. That was kind of hard. But to just be in his presence. And I'll tell you what. I've heard him twice before. Heard him once in Mozambique. And heard him in Orlando. Mozambique 2 summers ago. Orlando this past end of the summer. And both times were really, really good. Changed my life. But it was way different when he was here at Frontline. Pastor Jose said, he's really preaching. He's really preaching. Or he wasn't doing that at these other two gatherings. And it was really good before. So there's a message from God. There's a preaching anointing that's flowing. He's not telling stories. He's speaking. And he's going into heaven and coming down and being used for us to have an encounter with Jesus. So when we were in the prayer room before all of this, my sister Anne was standing outside, which I saw yesterday, and taking a little quick video of our prayer time. And it was kind of fun because I hadn't seen that and hadn't heard the audio yet. And so she was standing out there and she's taking a little bit of video. And Brother Yoon was speaking about the fact that he was calling heaven down and wanting us and desiring for all of us to actually have an encounter with the resurrected Jesus, which I really believe happened for those of us who are here. So it's worth your time. It's worth your money. It's worth your effort. It's worth what I'm saying here to take that step and bring that into your own home and watch and listen. And the same with the other progression for Relentless Pursuit. We don't make money on this, obviously, and we don't charge for the conference. So this is not from any other place other than, listen, we need to walk out these words that we're singing up here, and we know the storms are raging, and we might not be walking through a storm as Brother Yoon or somebody else might be walking through, but what it feels like to us is the biggest storm of our life, right, at that time. So the Lord wants us to really be equipped, to really be able to hold fast to everything that he's saying and doing for us at that time. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through, but he also wants to provide a way so we can move in the most defined way that he has for us. And we can miss opportunities. We don't want to. We want to just move in tandem with him. So with that in mind, I know some of you want to send the kiddos to their class, and I know we have a new season here for junior high as well. So goodbye, children. We'll see you. And I want to first show you two passports. And I want to, I'll bring it up in a little bit. But those of you who are going back with the children, some of us are leaving for Ghana, okay, in a little bit. And just want to encourage you to commit that to prayer and also every other way, because we need your support for that. That's okay. He's going to be an evangelist someday. Amen. A little singer, something. So praise the Lord. If you could open your Bibles and put up there, if you could, Ange, Revelation 14, verse 3 and verse 7. Really appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And this is being recorded, right, Andy? Amen. Okay, Revelation 14:3. This was a verse that Ben was speaking about during one of his sessions. And I know that this was extremely important, extremely helpful, extremely poignant, extremely prophetic, extremely on, extremely, extremely, because the Lord is taking us all into this new season, this new dimension of what he's doing right now. And all those who are in kingdom land right now with kids, I'm hoping that they'll hear this so that they can receive this impartation as well. But and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Okay, can we go to verse 7 now, please? And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water." I'm going to read that again. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of waters." The hour of his judgment has come. Fear God, give him glory. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of waters. Interestingly, Ben had a dream within that very verse, with that very verse, and had been camping on Revelation 14, verse 3. Can we back it up and put verse 3 up there again, please? And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. They sang a new song. We heard many things this past weekend about heaven. We heard verses. We pondered ideas and thoughts and words that were released to us. And many of us, I'm trusting, all this week have been thinking about some of the things that we've experienced, some of the words, some of the scriptures, some of the impartation, some of the revelation that the Lord has given us. And I don't know about you, but I can firmly say that this conference was a time of a very steady, obvious, this is for me, and continued building. And the Lord, I believe, had everything structured that way. It doesn't mean that someone who went on Thursday wasn't as meaty as someone on Tuesday the following week. That's not what I'm saying. Not at all. We started out with meat, and we ended up with meat. There wasn't any milk. Okay? There was a lot of meat. And the Lord was saying to us, I believe, and I can speak from where I'm coming from, that now is the time, kids. There's something new that I'm doing. There's something very different that I'm doing. And even hearing those words, that would be different to your ears if you're open. I'm opening up your ears to hear. I'm taking blinders off to see. I'm lifting the veil in many ways, and I'm encouraging you to stand, for all the promises made will be kept. Promises made are promises kept. When we hear something like that, Papa Mel said that over and over and over, right? And others. But when we hear something like that, promises made, promises kept. Oh, that looks good on a t-shirt. I'll put it on my refrigerator. I really want to own that. I really want to do something with that. It's true. It's true. It's true. But how many times do we go through the struggles, even this week, okay, and last week, and the last year, as Lawrence was saying, yes and amen, I'm with you on that one. How many times do we think, Lord, okay, I'm holding fast to your promise. I'm holding fast to what you're saying. And I know you're going to keep it. I just know you're going to keep it. I know I'm going to see this. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it says some didn't see the promise, so maybe I'm not going to receive the promise. So it all becomes about the promise instead of the promise keeper. Now, wait a minute. Didn't he say promises made or promises kept? Yes. That means that he's faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful even when we are not. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. Can you put that up, please? If you need a Bible, you have a Bible right up there. Let's get a Bible in our hand or in our phone or something so our eyes are looking. We're looking at the Word. Can we do that? If you need one, just right up here. Just grab it. Okay. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's a very powerful, powerful, powerful verse. It's very simple. Let's look at it again. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. But we can. We can deny him. He will allow us that. But he's faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful because he can't deny who he is, because he is faith. So when we're calling on the Prince of Peace to calm the storm, think about the disciples in the boat. Think about the ones who were watching their Lord, their Master, their Savior, sleeping in the midst of the storm. And more than likely, they're pretty faithless, right? And they're calling on Jesus, saying, we're going to die. We're going to die. Help us. And he's faithful when we're faithless. So it's like, okay, well, what does that mean? I mean, still, I want my promises kept. I want the promises kept, the promises made. If we think about the way that Jesus operates, he lets us in on what he's doing sometimes, and other times he doesn't. He doesn't let us know what's going to happen necessarily from beginning to end in fullness, the way we might understand. For example, Brother Yoon, 13 years, my understanding, 13 years before he actually went to Germany, he had a dream with doors that were open, three or four. I don't remember what the book said. It was three or four doors, iron gates that were open. He had a dream. He didn't know what that meant. He hadn't even been in prison yet. He hadn't gone through anything yet. He had been preaching the gospel to the nations. He hadn't understood exactly what was happening. Look at this crew. They're going to have a good day. It was awesome. Hi, guys. And he didn't understand what that meant, but he remembered later. It was opened up to him later. How many of you have ever had a word from the Lord and you forgot about it completely, and then all of a sudden he'll download it and you'll be hit upside the head going, oh, whoa, whoa, I had a dream, I had a vision, I had a word. That's the grace of God. And if that doesn't happen that way, many times we'll be led to go to our journals or go to our phones or go somewhere and actually be reminded of that very word. If we need that very word and it's in us, he will remind us of that somehow. He wants to. But we still need to plug in and receive it. Sometimes it's right into our own ear gate. And that's just the coolest. Like, oh, yeah, thanks for talking to me. That's so cool. But other times, he leads us through a point of discovering him. Discovering him. Discovering him. He's the treasure. So we're on this journey discovering him. And we can be most helpful in for our own situations by remembering that he's always faithful when we are faithless. If we don't lose sight of that, or if we need to be empowered in that area, we're in a good place. We're in a really good place because the Lord wants to make that so incredibly clear to us. Can you put 2 Timothy 2, let's make it 10 through 18. Can you put that up? We have 13 here. Let's take a look at this. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. Now remember, this is all coming into closure here, and then even beyond with verse 13. It's coming. Okay? If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now hang on before we go to 13. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Okay, now before we go on to the next, let's think about this. Brother Yoon had a situation in his own personal life where his mother just had such a terrible time. And he shared a lot of this last Saturday night. And he said that you know, there was a lot of starvation going on with Mao Zedong and all the kinds of counter-revolutionary situations going on in China. And people were just dying, starving to death. Can you imagine a mother watching her child die and starve to death and she couldn't do anything about it, or a father? That was his mom. That was Brother Yoon's mom. So Brother Yoon's brother had just died. And the mom watched him, and she did everything to try to save him. Everything to try to get food for this young boy. I can't imagine that kind of heartache Think about it, though. Think about it spiritually. If you watch a child start to die spiritually, it's incredibly painful, incredibly sorrowful, with the hope that there's going to be a resurrection, because you want to see something that's supposed to be, because the Lord is faithful. But think of the pain involved there. And the person who is spiritually dying might be smiling. They may not have hunger pangs where they're crying and saying, this hurts. But it's a bigger problem, because if we die spiritually, there's no hope. Okay? Now think about that. So in this situation, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Well, this is what was camping in the mind of this mother when her son actually passed away. And then the father became very sick, and he ended up having fourth stage cancer. So he shared about this miracle Saturday night. There are a lot of things that went on in his book, if you've read the book yet. And yet he started with that, which led into everything that he was going to do through the incarceration in prison and after the fact. Now filled with Jesus even more, having a bigger picture of world evangelism than he did. Because now his eyes are on even greater than China, although he's still completely tethered through back to Jerusalem to raise up the 100,000 plus missionaries coming out of China to go back to Jerusalem, stop in the 1040 window, so to speak, and evangelize and see everybody, which is the majority of the population of the world, actually, living in that 1040 window in the countries that need Jesus so desperately. These Muslim and Buddhist and animist countries that need Jesus. And so Brother Yoon has this heart of Jesus, this global heart for the nations beyond. Can a nation be saved in a day? Let's go do this. Let's take a mission trip. Should we go to Brazil? Should we go to Mozambique? Which one should I go on? That's not bad, but those are still baby steps for the fullness of the picture of Jesus' heart. It's not bad. I'm not saying that. But the Lord is saying, I want to take you through whatever it is that will help you see how I see. I'm going to allow you to experience whatever is necessary, because I'm God and you're not, that will bring you into the deeper love relationship with me that I have for you. And I'm going to broaden your shoulders to be able to carry others, because they'll be standing on your shoulders. And they have to be broad enough so you don't crash. Think about that. So if we begin to see our God in that way, that he knows exactly what he's doing, he says, don't fear, and he says, I know what you're going through. He really does. He really does. And he is faithful. So, but yet he gives us these verses, if we endure, we will also reign with him. So, honestly, I can't remember where Brother Yoon said this of the three meetings now that I've heard him. It might have been here. But he said he knows. He has been told by Jesus that he will be reigning with Jesus very specifically when Jesus returns. Okay? The Lord has told him that. He has endured. He has continued to endure. There is reward for endurance being built. There is reward for our suffering. There is reward. There's heavenly reward. It's way beyond what we could even understand. The Lord gives us snippets and he says, discover that in my word, not so that you can escape pain per se, but that you can understand that there is, that I've not missed anything in your life. You may have been suffering for the last 40 years in some way. And the Lord says, I will use anything in your life where you have come into my presence. It's not just that people suffer. There can be many people in the world who suffer and die, but they have not been tethered to Jesus. It's those who are enduring with the kingdom desire for Jesus. This is endurance, okay? And this is why he was here, one of the reasons. And he just blasted this body of people. I don't know what he does on the rest of his tour around the United States, but this was strong. It was really, really strong. I've heard him in Pemba, and as I said, I heard him in Orlando, and we were on the floor crying, and it was strong. But there was something very unique for Frontline and anybody who came that night. I'm serious. So, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Do we think that's important? If we don't understand what that is, what that looks like, if we don't know Revelation, if we don't understand anything about the last days, anything about the revelation of Jesus, when he's coming back, why he's coming back, what our role is here to encourage that return to come back, to live for that, then we're still in just an entryway of discovering. And that's okay. He knows where we are. But we need to know where we are and say, Lord, I'm just starting out, but I want more. And I want that. What she's talking about, that's what I want. I want more. I need more of you. And you are revelation. Revelation isn't about you. Revelation is you. So when we're in revelation and we receive revelation, we're in him and we receive him. Okay, so if we deny him, he will also deny us. It's like, oh, I need to know what that means. I need to understand what that means and not have a furrowed brow. It's like, oh. He's saying, you need to know my heart. You need to know what I'm like. You need to understand that I'm allowing people to do this. I'm allowing my very creation to do this. And that takes my hands off of it because I'm allowing that because I am love and I release myself freely, but I also permit others to receive me. And that's what love does. That's true love. That's the nature of love. That's why he's saying it. Okay? We don't get sent to hell. It's not like that. But if we deny him, he denies us. That's the nature of love. He has to. It's mutually exclusive. Okay? The Lord is saying to us that when we are in a place, a valley of decision, we need to recognize that he's giving us everything that we need. There is no demon so great. There is nothing so big that we cannot take a step towards the living God. Because that's what love does. Gives us an opportunity. So great, so great. Think about the Lord's desire to increase our reception of love of him through relentless pursuit, through all the people, through the worship, through the opportunities, okay, through those times of impartation. There was a marriage workshop that was really good. There were four of them, four different workshops, and we couldn't all be in one at the same time, right? But the Lord's saying, would you like to receive my words from someone who allowed themselves to be possessed by me? And would you like, since I showed up there, would you like to bring life into your marriage? Would you like to see that I love healthy marriages? Would you like to see that I can do something very strong in marriages that are extremely healthy and good and families, and one puts 1,000 to flight? And two puts 10,000 to flight. It's not just for having a nice little fall get-together with your spouse. Not that that's bad. We like those things, right? So the Lord's saying, do you realize that that was offered? Things like that. He's speaking to us. He's breathing on us. Oh, I don't need to go to a world evangelism session or workshop. I already have a heart for the nations. No, it's the Lord shows up and he says, I am tailor-making what you need for you because this is my idea for you to do this. So come and receive. Come to the banqueting table. And that's why Andy's making that opportunity again and again and again, see? So we want to understand. We want to unpack these things. Okay, let's go to 13. Keeping these in mind, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Which, again, adds explanation to the verse before it. He can't deny who he is. Isn't that beautiful? Think about that. We can have the full confidence from the word to take the words that Brother Yoon spoke over us, saying, do not fear. I know what you're going through. Jesus loves you. And he said it over and over. He said it in Chinese. We said it to one another. Okay? Because he knows that fear, any dot of fear in any way, shape, or form, that is allowed to come towards us and hold us, well, the intent and purpose of that is to negate and push fear or push faith away. If faith is pushed out or away, we're just constantly saying, I need your peace, I need your peace, I need to get in peace, I need peace. Okay, okay, okay. When we receive peace, when the peacemaker and peace giver comes upon us, do you know that the Lord's desire is to infuse us with eyes, with spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, to see every situation from his perspective? Okay, let's think of a situation that you are going through, or I'm going through right now, or we have gone through recently. Oh, this is hard. It could be discouraging. I don't like how someone responded, or the fact that someone didn't respond. I wasn't built for rejection. I don't like, you think of all the things that we face, right? But the Lord, when you have verses like this, what he's trying to help us do is become like him so that we can see all of those situations through his eyes. And we can navigate through those situations hearing what he's saying about that. So we could have someone come and give us a big punch, oh, kind of like Brother Yoon being arrested and then just having the tar beat out of him, you know. And he is brought into a place of recognizing, at least after the pain, he's probably trying to endure through the pain, right? But after the pain, he is put in a place of having to deal with what's going on. How is he going to view that very persecutor? What's he going to do? How is he going to see that person? Because he's designed to see with Jesus' eyes, hear with Jesus' ears, and then pray accordingly. And that's part of strengthening. That's part of enduring. That's part of not denying Jesus, not denying his nature, not denying him, of seeing and relating to him majestically, of enduring to the end so we can overcome and we can reign with him. Okay? And we can't get there if we have something standing in the way as easily. So at the very end of Brother Yoon's time with us, he was saying, let's get rid of anything that stands in the way. He didn't spend a lot of time with that, did he? When you were here, was it just like a minute after he spoke for an hour and a half, whatever it was? Because he spoke about Jesus the whole time. And he was saying, look, you want to get rid of the counterfeit in your life? Know the real. Here he is. Here's who he is. Here's what he's done. Your call and the execution of that call might look a little bit different from somebody else's specific way of replicating heaven, bringing heaven to earth. But the command is the same. He said that. He said the command is the same. The command for Ashley is the same as the command for Rachel. Okay? The command is the same. So when we're understanding the command from the nature of our Papa, from our Jesus, from Holy Spirit, if we understand that, then we will put ourselves before him and finding that we'll be doing great exploits for him. Not from his perspective. It'll be, yeah, good, she's got it. Or he's got it more. Or, yeah, I designed him to do that or her to do that. There'll be a confidence that you step out with and into for the next. Or you'll get buried. We can be buried. And he talked about Lazarus a lot, right? And he talked to, and he loved the worship that was going on here. And he said, you know, I like this worship. He told us that. This is strong worship. There's worship for the Lord. And it's not this little tiny worship where we feel better. He says the enemy, you know, is just not going to find you to be a threat. If you're worshiping quietly, just leave me alone like this. And he said, and it wasn't the loudness per se, but he did say that Jesus, when he called forth Lazarus, he said, our Bibles maybe say, come forth. He said, come out, come out. So come forth. But he said it with a shout. He said it loudly with a strong voice because he knew what Jesus, he knew what was going to happen with Lazarus. And he was calling him forth. And he was like a Lazarus himself when he was being removed from prison. And he was told by the Lord, get up. How do you get up with broken legs? How do you get up with broken ankles that have been smashed? Okay, with a what do you call it? A mallet. What? Sledgehammer, thank you. Okay, I mean, come on. And Jesus said, son, child, I know what you're going through, and permitted that? And I mean, think about this. We're talking the King of the universe. We're talking the God of creation here that allowed that. Okay, let's think about this. Was Brother Yoon prepared for that? I'm sure he would say, no way. That's all I can say. I don't think any of us would like this. But the point is that here he is coming to frontline, standing here and addressing us as brothers and sisters in the Lord, saying, I want you to encounter Jesus. That's what I want. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm going around. Yes, it's back to Jerusalem. Yes, it's the 10:40 window. Yes and yes and yes. But without the encounter of Jesus, we can't take that step. And so when he was in prison, and when the Lord's time was right, and he said, this is the dawn of your day. This is your dawning right now. Okay, he had to have a vision from his wife saying, get up and go out. While he's in there, he was pretty low, which he's very humble, you know, what he's gone through, and he still remained faithful. He would say, no, I was faithless. Okay, from my take, what he went through for how I might handle it, he still seems faithful to me. When he spoke like that in Pemba, Heidi Baker just was like, don't even go there. Mister, but still, he's a very humble man, so he's looking at it from God's eyes and his eyes, I'm sure. Nonetheless, he never gave up, he never quit. Okay, that's the important part. He never said, I'm done, we'll see you, Jesus. But when he's in that extreme torture, that was pretty rough, right? So not only did that happen, but also his spiritual father was in the cell next to him. Brother XU, Zoo, however you say it. Okay, he was in the cell next to him, and he had a miraculous, because I listened to it again, because I missed that part, but he had a miraculous opening of his door. And he came out of the cell, and he went over next to, you know, to Brother Yoon's, and he must have looked in the window or called him or something, because he was trying to do this. So who knows how loud it was. It wasn't really clear. But he was trying to say, get up and go. Get up and go. So the Lord was using his spiritual father to say, now is your time. Move it. Now is your time. This is it. And what he's saying, you know, was, hey, listen, don't you guys know I have busted legs and ankle? How could I? How could I do that? Not only am I in pain, but this is impossible. Don't you know? So these things are going through his mind because he's tormented constantly, I'm sure. And then the Lord reminds him also that, hey, I gave you a dream many, many years ago, and I showed you. I think that was in the prison. It might have been later. I'm not sure. I have to reread. If you read it, correct me here, because I've read a lot of stuff lately. I don't want to mix up the time frame. But I know that that was part of his revelation at some point. So the Lord said, I'm doing this, but the way he put it was, Jesus walked in my room. Jesus came in my room. Jesus did this for me. Jesus did this for me. I know mine doesn't even hold a candle to this, but I had a suddenly, and I had people helping and you guys praying and everything, and Jesus walked into my room and gave me new lungs in the hospital. And when I say that to people, sometimes there's this, you know, religious, And I heard a lot of that in the last 9 years, a lot of that. And sometimes that's hard because it's like, well, okay, you can be that way. But It doesn't change the fact that Jesus came in my room and gave me new lungs, and I'm here today to tell you about it. You know, so when you have an encounter with Jesus, nobody can take that away. Man can come against you and maybe make you look or try to make you look stupid or foolish or ignorant, but the Lord has the last word. So remember that for yourselves. Remember that. And so, okay, so Brother Yoon shares the rest of his story, which was amazing. But he also, before he got that, he started out with his mother losing hope and wanting to actually commit suicide. She found a place with a rope, and she was tying the knot somehow. And she was thinking, I can't even go on. I lost my son. My husband is dying. There's no hope here. What can I do? And Jesus spoke to her and said, I love you. I love you. She had an encounter with Jesus. She runs back. She tells her family. She gets her kids out of bed. Brother Yoon's one of them, and says there's hope for Father. An encounter with Jesus stirs us up in our holy faith, stirs us up inside. When we get a prophetic word, if we will receive the word and it's meant from God to encourage us, we have an encounter with Jesus. It starts to change things and it puts things in motion. But if the enemy comes and says, well, you know, that didn't happen last time. It's really not from, it's just wishful or wishful thinking. It's really not God. Then the enemy comes in and we deny the fact that the Lord has spoken to us to try to stir us up. So because the problem was so strong in Brother Yoon, the Lord had to meet him several different ways. And then he stood up, and he didn't even recognize he was standing up until later. He stood up. He got on his knees, but he stood up to pull his trousers, he said, up, because they sit around that way. And he knew that the only way that he would be able to even go to the bathroom was for someone to come to him, and he would get on their back. We had a little picture of that in Mozambique one year, didn't we, with Pastor Jose, when Troy had to carry Pastor Jose on his back to go to the restroom, because Pastor Jose went with us into the bush, went out for weeks when he had had an accident right before we came, and his whole leg was opened up. I mean, literally opened up, seeping from burns that happened from this collision. And everyone was saying, don't go out with Frontline. You're crazy. Stay home. Be okay. And he goes, no, I have to go. No, I want to go. He's going to do what he wants to do. So we're in the van watching this, and he's in constant pain from this big burn down his leg that's seeping. And we got to one village. I don't know where we were, in Dondo or something like that, wherever it was. And he couldn't even stand. He did have some crutches, so he got on Troy's back. And Troy took him to the bathroom. And I remember that. And we never forgot that it was just like this moment, God saying, will you see what's going on here? Will you recognize this? Will you let that change you? Over and over and over and over, different things. Not Troy, how great he is. Not Pastor Jose, how wonderfully, you know, suffering for Jesus he is, which he is. But the fact that the Lord was allowing us to have a picture of what it would take to continue the mission to see it through. Think about it. It's no small task to get on the mission field. There's going to be everything under the sun to try to discourage us. Okay, whether it's finances or time or whatever it would be, or whatever it is in our mind. We have to have encounters with Jesus and get the marching orders from the Lord, and the rest will come. Okay? Finances and things, and we need to help one another. We need to help each other. If Troy wasn't there, it would have been a little harder for PJ. And the rest of us were in the van praying for him as we're traveling 9, 10, 12 hours, who knows, you know, praying for him. And he came. And that example was everywhere we went. And he never complained. So, yeah, I have a lot of respect for those who will continue on even when it hurts. And that's for all of us, right? But let's not lose what God has already deposited. Or if we have, let's take these words and let's call them out. And let's say, Lord, I'm going forward. I'm not going to miss these moments. I'm going to step in and do what you've called me to do. Because you've made a way and you've given me the impetus for this. You've given me the faith that's needed. And the fear is leaving me. Okay, so for Brother Yoon, the fear had to be corralled so that he could respond in faith. He still had to stand up. he still had to go. And even when he pulled his pants and walked out, he was thinking, they could shoot me in the back. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do this. Okay, maybe I'm going to go to heaven. I don't understand this, but I'm supposed to keep going, and I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep moving. And as he's walking through the first door, there's a guy coming that had opened the door. The guard had opened the door, and Brother Yunus got this stride, and he says, don't close the door, and he keeps walking through, and the guard doesn't see him. And so the story goes on and on in the book. You know, and I read that for more of the nature of God, the presence of God, the majesty of God. It's not what a great adventure story. It's who are you, Jesus? Who are you? Who really are you? And that's what Brother Yoon and everyone through Relentless Pursuit was trying to draw us to. Who really are you? How big are you to me? Obviously, well, maybe not obviously, if you weren't here, you don't remember, but you wouldn't know this, but Brother Yoon was encountering Jesus when he was praying for his father to get healed, and he didn't understand that. He didn't understand it all, but the mother was so strong, and she said, this is what we're doing. The anointing was there. Come on, let's do it. Let's go after this. They prayed all night, and the father was healed. Within a week, the cancer was completely gone, and the Lord said, call everybody in. Let everybody in the family know this. They think I'm in my grave clothes. No, they're going to come in, and they're going to see that there's a miracle, there's a testimony, and it's of my Jesus. And they did this over and over and over. And for months, every time the family or anybody else would come and gather in that house, okay, mom would tell the same story of how she encountered Jesus and how God said, I love you. Jesus says, I love you. Don't be afraid. I love you. And she had this encounter that empowered her. And when she was empowered, she could move forward. She could do something that's different. She could go beyond just enduring because, okay, it's painful. It's been so many years. It's been, oh, and now it's this person in my life. And now it's that person in my life. And I can't take all these people. And the Lord say, let me show you through my eyes what I'm doing. Let me show you the bigger picture. Let me love you into that place where fear will not capture you so that you can be even more effective in helping those people get free. You can be more effective. I want to be more effective. I want my prayers to move mountains. I want to connect with Jesus. And so that when I'm crying before the Lord, I'm touching heaven. I was re-listening to Pastor Jose's time on, when was it? Friday afternoon. This is a couple of days ago. And he gets in this place. It's like, what? He calls it, you know, when someone is like this, he doesn't say about himself, I say it, that he's possessed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, Holy Spirit takes him over, and there's a change in his way, in his manner, in his eyes, in his voice, and you just know it. You have to know it by the Spirit. And at the end, he called for people to come up and cry before the Lord, for their country, for their loved ones, for their family, for their ministry. Okay? And I remember that. I was here. Very few on Friday were here. And maybe work, maybe family, maybe whatever, whatever, whatever. But these things, these are rich. They're from heaven. So it's like, okay, we'll make a way this year. We're given, you know, half price, any way to get the word out. Next year, think about it. Think about what I can do. What can I do to be here a year from now? Maybe it'll be I'll give up one or two days of my vacation during the year so I can come here and I can receive. You know, this isn't for me. This is for you. And it's for what God is releasing. And it's not about this year. It's about next year. Think ahead, because God's going to do it again with number 8, but it's going to be different. So for this situation, with Pastor Jose, when I was home in my family or my living room and I was just having coffee and I was listening to it, and I was in the anointing of this message. It wasn't, oh, I really like PJ. I like what he says, so let me listen to it. It was, Lord, I want to encounter you. I want to be with you. I want to receive, and I want to grow. I want to go deeper myself. And so I'm just there and just weeping before the Lord. And he says, I want you to come up here and cry before the Lord. And it was really Jesus saying that through him. The Holy Spirit was saying that. This is what was needed at that time for what God was releasing through whatever message he gave. He was saying, this is the kind of intercession that is touching heaven right now. I can't muster up that. I'm not going to sit in my living room and start crying. It's going to be the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost came upon me through that teaching. It was like, whoa, God, what are you doing? This is really strong. This is really powerful. Okay, let's continue on with 14 and 15. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Okay, we had much impartation, just leave it up there, please. We had much impartation this past weekend, about our words and the power of our words. When we're distraught, when we're upset, when we're feeling overwhelmed, when whatever, and we say things that we are given so much power because Jesus is the Word. It's not a joke. So he is the Word. It's not just using little words that are three syllables long. There's power. They're living. These words are living. So when we are stepping in and we are not communing and encountering Jesus completely through our heart that comes out of our mouth with his words, we have a problem here. Remind them, solemnly charge them in the presence of God. Don't wrangle about words. Well, so-and-so said this and so-and-so did that. Or they didn't do this and they didn't do that. Probably true. But what does Jesus say about it? Meaning it happened, it's true. But what does Jesus say? So when we go into difficult situations, what is Jesus saying about this situation? What is Jesus saying to me about whatever I'm going through? What is he saying right now? He's right with me. He's right here. What's he saying? The first time Brother Yoon heard that Jesus called him son, that wrecked him. He felt that family tug. He didn't say it was Papa. He said it was Jesus, his older brother. But he called him son. You understand? This is the same love the Father has for Jesus that is for us as well. And so he experienced the triune God. He experienced the Trinity. But he knows the voice of Jesus. He wasn't confused. That was like big. Catch those kinds of things and go, my gosh, that's right. Jesus, I want to hear you. We were given a proclamation. He said, how many of you really want to encounter Jesus? How many of you really want to hear Jesus speak to you? How many of you want a face-to-face with Jesus? And so those proclamations or questions, declarations that we give or that we experience with the Lord, it's a man. He is just a man who puts his pants on one leg at a time. That's not it. We're relating to the Jesus that's captured his heart. That's what we have to remember. It's not about, oh, I'm going to follow a man. However, this man has paid a price, and the Lord is revealing himself through him that way, okay? But it's through Ben. It's through Pastor Jerseo. It was through Inez, Pastor Jose, Mel Tari, Papa Bill, okay? This is what God had for us over the weekend. So I'm obviously capitalizing on that because it's fresh and it's new and it was for us. So he's doing something. And we have to encourage one another to take the steps. Encourage one another. Listen, let's do this. Let's pray. Let's seek God. What is he saying? What's he speaking about our destiny, our future? What's he saying about the now? What's he saying? Okay, next one, please. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Be diligent. Be diligent to present. This is probably one of the first verses that many people have encountered when they first became a Christian, and you go into Christian ease, and it's like, okay, I got to be diligent. I've got to read the word well, and I have to present myself well. And that's true, and that's good, and it's great. But there's such depth when you take this all into consideration and say, Lord, what do you say? If I'm going to present myself to you as a workman, if I'm going to do that, I don't ever want to be ashamed. And I don't want to look back and look and feel as though, Lord, I really haven't given myself to everything that you have called me to do. You've called me to do this. I don't want to use anything as an excuse anymore. My family, my marriage, my sorrow, my job, the ministry, the relatives, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it would be, don't use it anymore. Decide for yourself, I have decided to follow Jesus, though none go with me. Though none go with me, I will follow you, Jesus, even if you're the only one. If you've ever been there, it's a place of, I can tell you, I have been there. I have been there. And I sang those words. And I remember that being tested immediately, the very day that the Lord filled me with his Spirit. And I remember the singing those words, though none go with me, I still will follow. And within hours, that was tested really strongly for me. And it didn't stop. Okay? One thing Brother Yoon said to us is that when we move in that place, when not only will we be willing to proclaim the gospel fully with fire, but we will be willing to die for the gospel. He said that that's a place of no return. He didn't use those words. He said something else. I don't remember, but that was what he was saying. Okay? But we get to that place, and the Lord will so grab us, and you're just not even going to believe the ride. And it may be filled with sorrow. But joy always overtakes the sorrow if we're becoming like him. That's the only way Brother Yoon could survive and overcome and endure for the reigning with Jesus. And have the world's Jesus' understanding of the salvation for the world, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And believe it and run our lives that way. This is a new day, a new sound. This is brand new. Can we have 16 up, please? But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Okay, chatter goes along with the verse a couple before this, talking about the mouth again. We have to avoid anything that's the worldly explanation of what is happening. This is what is going on. This is a natural worldly explanation, and even provision is made. Think about this for your own life. Avoid anything that is considered to be empty chatter, because it's just meant to pull us away from faith. Empty chatter, just to get along, just to be liked, just to bring peace, just so everybody feels comfortable. No, don't. Sometimes the Lord is saying, just be still and know that I'm God, and let me work and let me show others through your life who I am. And they might say, wow, he has changed. Wow, she has changed. But that's okay. And you may not be loved, you may not be accepted, and you may not really be liked. And that's really okay too. We're not looking for that. It's no fun. But sometimes that happens. Because we have to avoid this. But at the same time, the Lord has to give us his way, his way, his way, so that we can love people to life. But it needs to be his way. And every way that we communicate, whether it's verbally or it's texting, really needs to have the heart and the flavor of Jesus, so that someone doesn't receive a text and go, well, I was really strong. The Lord wants us to see through his eyes and his mouth and his ears, and he'll take us through whatever he takes us through. I don't understand why China has gone through what it's gone through, but you heard last week the great uprising that's happening there. You heard the numbers of thousands that are coming to Jesus every day, and it's happening in Iran, it's happening in Korea, it's happening in these countries. And they've gone through a lot, but the Lord is soon to return, and he's saying, I want you to understand why we're all heading back to Jerusalem, because Jesus is coming soon. We need to live that way. Okay, let's finish up here. 17, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Well, that was addressed as well this week. very strongly, very, very strongly. When you, this message today, which I really didn't know what the Lord was going to do, honestly, you know what he gave me? Okay, he told me, listen to Brother Yoon, which I did, and he said to, you know, fill my heart and my life all through the week with different things that he told me to do. And then he said, Revelation 3, okay, the two verses, or 14, I'm sorry, Revelation 14, verse 3 and 7. That was it. Nothing else. There's the message. This is the Lord telling us, I believe, telling us that he doesn't want us to miss anything. He wants us to be so encouraged and excited as to what he's really doing, what he's wanting to see happen, what he wants to do to take us to the next place. And for us to be in this together, to have true unity of heart, true unity of spirit. And when things look difficult, it's okay. It's really okay. But let's rise up and let's come in together and let's see what can be done. Okay, we don't understand why Maria was taken home when she was. And do you know that someone who was like a spiritual father to me, his name is Howard Welsh, he passed a few days earlier than Maria, and both of their funerals are on the same day. Really important people in my life, as Cynthia and Lawrence know, personally. And it's like, what are you doing? And that was Saturday of Relentless Pursuit. That's not an accident. I don't understand it all. I have some ideas and thoughts, but it's just, what, you know, I don't know. But he says, continue on, go deeper. I'm going to show you the very things that I'm unpacking right now. And after we had Relentless Pursuit finished, we were sitting around the table and we're talking about the ways of the kingdom for kingdom wealth to rise up. The Lord is saying, which he did say, every dollar you have belongs to me. Don't be afraid. I know your future. Don't be afraid. Use this money that he gives you for the kingdom. Don't be afraid. And watch what he will do. Watch what he will bless. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, I'm just following this good business plan. Don't be afraid. You're of a different nature. You're a citizen of heaven. Pastor Bill pointed out that our Ghana visas have expired, which it's like, oh, really? I thought we had a year. So we're sending that in. So I brought these today, and as I looked at them, I thought, listen, we are citizens of heaven. We need to act like it in every way with our finances. Finances, okay? Citizens of heaven, and see what God would do. Amen? This is exciting. This is encouraging. The Lord is saying, let's step in to what belongs to us. Don't let the devil steal anymore. No, this is a time for great expansion. When we were sitting around with Ben and everybody else, and then even afterwards on the phone, we're talking about China, and we're talking about Mozambique, and we're talking about Brazil, and we're talking about America, and we're talking about Israel, and we're planning things. It's like, ah, Lord, this is so great. We're seeing all these things come together, and you're connecting more of the dots for our hearts. It's not an accident that you're doing this, and we just want to give you the fullness of the glory for everything that you're unleashing and unpacking in this season. And more is coming. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you, Lord, that you are on the throne, and you have encouraged us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the confidence today to own what belongs to us, to be able to say that your yes and amen for our lives will look like something. Lord, that we can take those steps past any of our barriers, Father, that would keep us from moving into the fullness of what you will equip us or have equipped us and enable us to do. Lord, interrupt our plans. We give you that permission. We've been doing that, but we're asking you to speak clearly, Lord, that we would encounter you for our finances, for our time, for our relationships, for our avenues, God, of connection with other people, whatever it is, for the sake of the Lamb's reward, for world evangelism. Lord, that's not just because we go to nations and others don't sometimes. No, this is for every believer. But Father, you've allowed us to go to the nations for 20-some years. So Lord, We thank you that you're expanding and you're increasing us and you're turning us into more of your kids, more like you. And we're thanking you for that today. Let it be. Let it be. Because you don't give your heart in pieces. So I'm going to close with that song, if you can find it. We played that all the time. Some of you know it, but we played it all the time by, what's her name? Amanda Cook. We played it while Pastor Jose was in our house. I'm going to turn the lights off and ask you to sit or stand if you have a baby. But listen to these words, because this is not just a song. This is an event with us as we encounter our Father. Okay? He says, I have not given my heart in pieces. I give you the whole heart. Just trust me. This will increase our trust for him. So just listen and receive right now with all that has been imparted and be strengthened and encouraged today. Just crank it up real nice and loud if you can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your love overtakes us, overwhelms us, is pure and holy, and it repairs our soul, fills us to overflowing, and helps us to continue on, Lord, with joy in our hearts, even in the midst of heartache, struggle, and trial, or persecution in any way. So thank you, Father, for giving us the bigger picture. Help us, Lord, step into the places where we are experiencing greater healing of our own soul, so we can in turn be more effective in helping others get free. Thank you, Lord. Help us. Help us. We just love you, that you love so freely and you give so freely. Just thank you, Holy One. You're so gracious and kind, and you know where we are. You know what we're doing. You're cheering us on, and you're drawing us into that greater depth of love that will change all things, as Pastor Jose was always saying, all situations. Thank you, Lord. Let us run that race with fullness to be able to see that. Open our eyes and our ears as we think about these things after today, what you're saying individually to us. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so kind. Thank you, Lord, for this refreshing time. In Jesus' name. Just want to also, I don't know if Andy said this because I was in the back, but Pastor Jerseo was here for Fire and Wind. And he was preaching in fire with a whole lot of wind. It was really strong. It was a different side. It was a different way of ministering. Pastor Jerseo was on fire in a different kind of way. He's always on fire as he's tenderly releasing his compassion. That's still fire, but there was something different as well. So if you weren't here, this is also part of that 12-part series. So even if you were here, you want to hear it again. So if you get that MP3 or whatever Andy said you could get, there's 12 sessions on it. It's a pretty good deal. And we're just asking that you would keep it. This is for Frontline. It's for the family here. It's a little bit different for others that came in. Okay? So God bless you. And there's a meeting right after this for Seismic. And also I wanted to mention that my brother-in-law, Randy, Ann's husband, is having a major surgery tomorrow. And we want to see... We want to see and hear a good report. He's having a hip replacement, and his hip has been, you know, he needs a new hip. He already had one 6 years ago, and this one is in even worse state than the first one was from what the doctor said. But we're going to believe the Lord's report, and we're just going to ask a few of you to gather around. Ann, is there anybody who has something upcoming this week that has, you know, it's a real strong, like we just really need some additional prayer for something? If a few of you can gather around my sister, Aunt Ann, that'd be great. And if there's anybody else, you can put your hand up. We can gather around you, and we just want to pray. So if you have something else, you can gather around Tiffany as well. Anybody else? Okay. Just gather around these folks. Okay. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you for what you're doing to bring your perfect will to pass for those in Tiffany's life, and also for Uncle Randy, who's Aunt Ann's husband, my brother, and our brother-in-law. So we just thank you, God, for what you're doing, and that you're bringing your healing and your restoration, your miraculous work into these situations. So we thank you, Father, for this. We thank you, Lord, that you would turn these situations around, that you would do what only you can do, that there would be just such a release of your presence in both of these situations, that we would have a good report and we would be able to testify of your greatness, of your majesty. We just thank you for the way that you will bring the healing, the deliverance, the restoration, and whatever is happening in Tiffany's world and life, and the same for Uncle Randy. So we thank you, Lord, for your peace and your calm, your mercy, your grace, and your love to overtake these precious ones and their families. And thank you, Father, for anything else that's moving, that needs your additional covering, Lord. We just lift it up to you for those that we're not speaking about right now. You know what those things are. But, Lord, we just come to you and we cry out for you to move the way you can move. Thank you, Lord, for loving both of these people and situations into life and taking them to the other side. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for putting all things in motion medically that need to happen. And Father, if there is a way that you would bring for a supernatural new hip, we'll take it. We call that out because we're crazy, God. You did it for Brother Yoon, you can do it for Randy. So Lord, we're asking for that, and we put it before you for signs and wonders to follow those who believe. So we thank you for that, and we just call that out for Tiffany as well, whatever her situation is. And we thank you for how you're going to do what you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it out. And we say, praise you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you Tuesday if you can make it. And we'll go in the back for the size.